हरे हे ओम सहनागतो सहनाभुनक्तो सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Vaishampayana said, asked by Dhritarashtra to give his opinion, Bhishma replied, O Dhritarashtra, a quarrel with the Pandavas is what I can never approve of. As thou art to me, so is Pandu without doubt. And the sons of Gandhari are to me as those of Kunti. I should protect them as well as I should thy sons, O Dhritarashtra. O king, the Pandavas are as much dear to me as they are to Prince Duryodhana, or to all the other Kurus. Under these circumstances, a quarrel with them is what I never like. Concluding a treaty with those heroes, let half the land be given unto them. This is, without doubt, the paternal kingdom of those foremost ones of the Kuru race. O Duryodhana, like thee who lookest upon this kingdom as thy paternal property, the Pandavas also look upon it as their paternal possession. If the renowned sons of Pandu obtain not the kingdom, how can it be thine, or that of any other descendant of the Bharata race? If thou regardest thyself as one that hath lawfully come into the possession of the kingdom, I think they also may be regarded to have lawfully come into the possession of this kingdom before thee. Give them half the kingdom quietly. This, O tiger among men, is beneficial to all. If thou actest otherwise, evil will befall us all. Thou too shalt be covered with dishonor. O Duryodhana, strive to maintain thy good name. A good name is, indeed, the source of one's strength. It hath been said that one liveth in vain whose reputation hath gone. A man, O Kaurava, doth not die so long as his fame lasteth. One liveth as long as one's fame endureth, and dieth when one's fame is gone. So that means even if one has died, one is still alive by fame, right? Because people still talk about you. But as soon as no one talks about you anymore, then you're gone. So if in this lifetime people don't talk about you, then you're already dead, even though you're alive. So reputation is very important. Like that. But this doesn't necessarily mean that social, but just as a person, you're respected. Right? One may lose position, one may lose so many different things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people regard you, or you may gain position and things, but it doesn't necessarily mean. So it's more important as you as a person, if that's respected. Does that make sense? Follow thou, O son of Gandhari, the practice that is worthy of the Kuru race. O thou of mighty arms, imitate thy own ancestors. We are fortunate that the Pandavas have not perished. We are fortunate that Kunti liveth. We are fortunate that the wretch Purochana, without being able to accomplish his purpose, hath himself perished. And from that time when I heard that the sons of Kunti Bhoja's daughter had been burnt to death, I was, O son of Gandhari, ill able to meet any living creature. O tiger among men, hearing of the fate that overtook Kunti, the world doth not regard Purochana so guilty as it regardeth thee. O king, the escape, therefore, of the sons of Pandu with life from that conflagration and their reappearance do away with thy evil repute. Because otherwise, people blame Purochana, but more important is that they blame Duryodhana. right? Because he's his man, right? He won't be acting on his own. Parochana won't himself go build this nice big house and then everything and then light it on fire, right? He has to be doing it from someone. He's not, you know, an independent person, right? Does that make sense? Know thou of Kuru's race, that as long as those heroes live, the wielder of the thunder himself cannot deprive them of their ancestral share in the kingdom. The Pandavas are virtuous and united. They are being wrongly kept out of their equal share in the kingdom. If thou shouldest act rightly, if thou shouldest do what is agreeable to me, if thou shouldest seek the welfare of all, then give half the kingdom unto them. Section 206. Vaishampayana said, after Bhishma had concluded, Drona spoke, saying, O King Dhritarashtra, it hath been heard by us that friends summoned for consultation should always speak what is right, true, and conductive to fame. Right? Means, if you're just there, you speak what would be appropriate, you know, for the relationship and this and that. If you're in a relationship that you could say something direct, you say it. But if you're not, you don't. Even if it may be beneficial, because the relationship is the more important thing. Does that make sense? It means they're doing something wrong. If you can help, nice. If you can't, then maintain your relationship. They'll make their own mistakes, but that's their mistakes. But it doesn't affect your relationship. Does that make sense? But if you're called for counsel, then you should say something that's beneficial. But at the same time, it should be spoken in a way that is also nice, right? Bhishma here is not saying nasty things, right? He's speaking very nicely to Duryodhana. Like that, very indirectly telling him how he's to blame for. He didn't say you did it. He said people blame you for it. Right? So that Duryodhana can't disagree with. He may or may not disagree with that he arranged it. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're speaking on the effect, not on what's being done. Right? Very, very important, these kind of details on how to deal. Right? So that's there. So there's never this thing where you have the right to speak whatever you like in a harsh way, a nasty way, by the modern thing. Oh, just being honest. Yes, but honest could be nice also. Right? Does that make sense? So this thing of I just speak, that's for one's own purpose. No one should ever think that they're actually doing it for the benefit of the other person. That may be mixed in with it, but otherwise, why would they say it like that? Because they themselves want to say it like that for their own false ego. They feel better. I feel bad. I just want to let it out. You know? So let it out somewhere else. Why you have to let it out here? Right? Where is one's right? Right? Speaking the truth is there, but truth means what's spoken nicely. Does that make sense? Right. So this is culture. So this other thing where you sit around in the circle and everybody tells everybody what they think like and yells and screams and all that and just completely deals with someone as if you've never even met them before. And when it's all over, then you change hats and then everything's hunky-dory like it was before. This is for animals. This is not human life. No, this is a technique used by the animals, for the animals, of the animals. It works for them, great, but no, it's for animals. And don't try to use it on humans. Right? In other words, if you're of, you know, Anglo-Saxon descent, go for it. But if you're not, you might find you'll destroy your relationships. Does that make sense? That's basically the bottom line. Like that. They're the only ones that do it, hate it, but somehow or another consider it noble. But there's no other community of the world, other than the Anglo-Saxons, that actually think like this. And I'm not joking. It's that blunt. Only the Anglo-Saxons think that they can just change hats, destroy relationships, then change the hat again, and everything's fine. They're the only ones that actually sincerely think like this. Every other community knows it's wrong. They might do it, but they know it's wrong. So never take them as, standards of relationships. They may be doing something nice you can learn from. That's always there. You can learn anything from anywhere. Niti Shastra says, Dharma Shastra says, you can learn morality from a sinful person, right? Because a sinful person knows what he's doing. So he can tell you how it's bad and don't do it. Right? You know, like a person who smokes can tell you, this is bad, don't smoke. Right? Because they have experience. So you can say, well, he smokes, how he can tell you not smoke. No, he's actually very qualified to tell you because he knows what is the downside. If he thinks smoking's good, then definitely you don't want to listen to him. Because he's sinful and an illusion. But if he's sinful and not an illusion, then very good teacher. Does that make sense? Bah. Okay. We've just solved our electricity problem. Everyone wears fluorescent cloth, don't need the lights. Okay, can you kids come over here? I need to see this. Okay. Yeah, does that make sense? You have to be very, very careful because these things are professed by many, that these are cultured and normal. Yes, it's normal. Dogs growl, bite, snarl, everything, and then the next minute they're best of friends. But that's dogs. So if you want to be a dog, go for it. But humans, this is what humans do. Mahabharata is what humans do. Right? Does that make sense? And according to Niti Shastra, then, how do you say it? What we were saying on the previous point is that you can learn the morality from a sinful person, then, you know, we're taking advantage of that, Shastra dictate to be in this position. Okay. Then, O sire, I am of the same mind in this matter with the illustrious Bhishma. Let a share of the kingdom be given unto the Pandavas. This is eternal virtue. Send, O Bharata, unto Drupad without loss of time some messenger of agreeable speech, carrying with him a large treasure for the Pandavas, right? See, he didn't just say someone can go over there and get the job done. You know, he didn't walk in there, yo, Pandu, yeah, well, you know, he just sent someone an agreeable speech, right? They can come in, speak very nicely. They've been insulted. Now they're going, speaking nice, give them gifts, everything like that. Let the man go unto Drupad, carrying costly presents for both the brides and the bridegrooms and the bride, and let him speak unto that monarch of thy increase of power and dignity arising from this new alliance with him. O monarch, let the man know also that both thyself and Duryodhana have become exceedingly glad in consequence of what hath happened. Let him say this repeatedly unto Drupad and Dhristadyumna. Let him speak also about the alliances having been exceedingly proper, agreeable unto thee, and of thyself being worthy of it. Let the man repeatedly propitiate the sons of Kunti and those of Madri in proper words. Right? So first they're dealing with Drupad here, because now these are his son-in-laws, so it's his kingdom. So he doesn't necessarily have to ally himself with the Kurus. Right? He's generally been supportive. But we must remember is that the Kurus did come in and take away his kingdom. Right? And of those, the only ones that gained his respect were the Pandavas. The Pandavas are allied with him. So they could be their own axis there. Does that make sense? So the Pandavas and the Panchalas, they can be their own. Kurus can be separate. But here he's saying as you're going in, first establishing that. Having done that, then you deal with the Pandavas. Right? Because they, being junior, will be submissive to him because he's the father-in-law. Because they know, in other words, Drona is speaking because he knows the nature of the Pandavas. Right? Also we see here is that he's taking this step further. Bhishma has already said why they should give half the kingdom, everything. So he's taking the next step. Now, as your advisors, how to get your best benefit, right? Because that's the point. Advisors are supposed to work for the benefit of the other. One can see, but they're bad. Why would they do? No, because they're advisors. Right? They're advisors. So that's the point. If they don't want to give advice to this person, don't be his advisor. Give that position up, leave. Right? But if you're accepting it, then you have to figure out what is good for him. Right? You can't choose or not choose according to your own issues. Right? That doesn't work like that. You can't be an advisor sometimes and not an advisor, and then your own political standing at other times, right? And we see Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, they threw their lot in with the Kauravas. And they got all the benefits of it, they got all the losses of it, right? So that's honest, like that. Maybe not recommended, but at least it's honest, right? Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
In terms of Nitya and Arka, what's the responsibility of the person receiving advice to take that or not take that?
To take it or not take it. Means the point is if you are keeping someone as an advisor, asking someone to be an advisor, then you actually have to take them seriously as an advisor. It's not that, I just ask you to be, I can take it or not. It's a matter of you basically are obliged to take it unless you can point out a reason why it should not be. You know? I'm saying, in other words, they give you some good advice, but you can point out something maybe they didn't catch or understand. You know, it's just like Duryodhana, you know, makes a point, you know, we should do all this political maneuvering like that. And Karna says, you've done all the political maneuvering when they were weak. Now they're strong. It definitely is not going to work. Of course, then someone else points out as, yes, but when they were weak, you also used military might and you were defeated. Now that they're stronger, it's also not going to work. You know, so that's Bhishma's point, is that you guys should just reconcile with them because there's no way you can defeat them, you know, either politically or you know, in war. So, like this, is in other words, if you can give a better point, then you don't have to take the advice. Otherwise, you've asked them. If they're making good points, you can't not take it just because of personal feelings or issues or this or that. It's right, it should be done. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, if one has issues that one can't, therefore one can't deal with it even though you know you're right, you have to present it that that's what it is. Don't cover it. And try to make it look like something else. Otherwise, it won't be logical and they'll just think, well, I'm wasting my time. But if you say, what you're saying is good, but I'm so attached, I can't deal in that way. And this thing, this one did this to me, and I just haven't been able to get over that. So therefore, considering that, how should I act? Then they'll reconsider and give advice. You know, either how you can get through the issue or how you can deal with this situation would be compatible with that issue, or a compromise between the two, how to reduce the issue a little bit, but at the same time consider part of it, like that. So it's a give and take, but both sides have to be quite mature, actually.
I guess that's why you have to take advice from qualified
people. Yes, so your advisor should be qualified. We see Drona very qualified, Bhishma very qualified, Kripa very qualified, Vidura very qualified. You know, that's why, even though he knows what he wants to do, still he takes advice from them. You know? Dhritarashtra wants to do what his son wants, but he knows he should still take advice because he knows it's wrong, but it's only out of attachment. So, does that make sense? So, as a Kshatriya, then, he still wants to do things according to Shastra. But, like Kanika, you know, there is knowledge in Shastra that perfectly supports Duryodhana's viewpoint, right? But the problem is he's surrounded by, you know, how you say, Bhishma is a Mahabhagavat, right? He's one of the top 10 devotees in the universe. You know, Vidura is Dharmaraj himself, right? That who is also a Mahabhagavat, like that. You know, so right there, he's got some problems. Drona is, you know, top Brahmin. you know, and in the martial sciences and that, he knows everything, and also you don't mess with him because he single-handedly could wipe them all out. You know, the only one he would have some problem with is Bhishma. Other than him, no one is even a contest for him. You know, it's not even like it would be even a serious fight, you know. And then Kripa, he's a very qualified Brahmin, you know. Is a Brahmin very good, is a fighter also very good, but not in the same class like Bhishma or Drona.
I guess from that you can see how blinding an attachment is, because with such qualified people around him, he's still...
Yeah, there's a chapter in the Krishna book, it's called Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. It's only 3 pages long, but here he's saying, I know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know the Pandavas are his great pure devotees. I know that Krishna always protects his devotees, and anything Krishna wants done gets done and happens. And because he wants it, it's going to go that way, and it doesn't matter what I think. But I'm attached, and I can't think any other way, and so I will be destroyed. Yeah, he admits it, but he goes ahead with it. You know, like that.
So it's bound by destiny, you can say that also more or less.
See, destiny should not be used as an excuse, because destiny is the situation you're in. You know what I'm saying? In other words, let's say the situation is a restaurant. What you order at the restaurant or what you do at the restaurant, that's your free will. So destiny is simply going to put you in the restaurant. What you do there is yours. So I have done... So the prarabdha karma is the situation that you're in, that you are going to receive the karma. But it's not that you're doing anything. It's what happens to you. What you do with that, that is fully your own. You're in a situation, let us say, it's very nice. Okay, you've done some previous pious activity. Then something has become, you get a situation where you have lots of money. Now, do you use that money for Krishna? Do you remember Krishna or not? That's your free will. But the karma is, you end up in a very opulent condition. Or the opposite. You may have done something, now you lose everything. What do you do in that condition? Does it increase your Krishna consciousness like the Pandavas? Or do you become all upset and everything like Duryodhana? So this destiny is what happens to you, not what you think or do with it. That's free will. That's always there. Just like your predestiny is always there. Every situation you're in is based on what you did before, so that's always set up. But what you do with it is always free, and that sets up always the future ones.
There should be also the consideration of what is playing by the will of the Lord, which is completely different also, I guess.
Yeah, no, you can do that, but best is for your, when you're dealing with your free will, leave God out of it.
No, I'm saying with the will in the sense of the persons who are under a play of the Lord.
Yes, of course. The devotees, then it's the will of the Lord. Because anything that you want to teach, you can only teach it through the devotees, because only the devotees can handle it. So that's the whole point. The devotee can be given great opulence. I mean, he's like Bali Maharaj. He can be given everything and he'll still remain the same, or everything taken away and he'll remain the same. You know, or Yudhishthir. He's emperor of the world. He's the same. He loses everything. He's the same. Only devotees can do that. So the Lord has to set example with the devotees. Like that.
Maharaj, just one thing. When Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, you can take advantage and take the glories for the fight, but I already have ordained the death of everybody here. He has ordained it before, or just at the moment that Dhritarashtra wanted to follow that path. So this was more the question. When his descent, he already had it clear. What
see,
he's
the point
do.
Is... means if you want to know God as God, then that puts you in a position where you just have to surrender. Because if you're dealing with God as tattva, you have to surrender. There is no ifs, no ands, no buts, no personal considerations, nothing. Because he's God, that's it. If you want to deal with pastimes, then you're dealing with his relationship with the devotees. So then you have to leave it as pastimes. You can't mix the two. They are the, of course, they depend upon each other, but for the understanding, you don't mix. Of course, God knows everything, but at the same time, as he has yoga maya, which makes it where he also doesn't understand. Right? It's no fun if you always know what's going on. Like that. So that's why it's, there's a plan, but at the same time, is he does leave it to see what the devotees do. Like Krishna said, he at some point he has to remove his dynasty from the world because they're the demigods. They have to go back to their posts. But when Gandhari cursed him that his dynasty after 28 years would be destroyed like hers, then he thought about it and said, "Yeah, I like it. I wasn't sure how to send him off, but this is nice. I'll go with that." So he does leave it also just how people act, because he is never insecure. Everything works for him. Whatever happens, he's fine. Right? So therefore, for him it's fun to see what the living entities come up with. For him it's not fun that I do this, therefore... That's the jiva's concept of what is masculine. You know, as I explained many times, if you get a bunch of girls together, they have a sleepover, right? And then in it, then they start doing some drama. So then some of they become men and do this and that. So how they profile, yeah, this and that, and do all the things, that's exactly how modern man acts. And he thinks he's a man. No, that's how women act when they think they're men. Men don't do that. Men act like what's in here. Like that. So there's a sense of security that's there. This whole thing that anything can make you insecure and you have to react with anger and fight and destroy, that's actually a feminine mentality. That's what women do. Men don't do that. Like that. Means men meaning like Krishna. Mm-hmm. Krishna and these personalities. So therefore this whole thing is that he's not insecure, so therefore if a jiva comes up with a plan for his pastime, it's fine with him. Because it's just his whole idea is he is who he is. So, yeah, okay. According to that joke, is, you know, I am what I am. He said, see, he's black. No, he said, if he was black, he would have said, I is what I is. Like that, so. So here. So then should I say, he am what he am? Otherwise, if I say he is what he is, then it might be taken in the wrong context. But he is black, yeah, so I guess it doesn't matter. So then, So he expands the living entities to interact with them. So what they come up with is fine. It's part of the pastimes. If it's agreeable to him, it's great. If it's not, he makes some other arrangement because somebody else has an idea. Is that okay? Okay.
How much of a force is free will whenever we're conditioned by our own mind and intelligence?
How much is free will when we're conditioned? It's still the same. It's just a matter of free will to engage in Maya or free will to engage in Krishna. The point is you're free at every moment. At the same time, the situation you're in, that you're bound. But you're free to do. But the tendency is when you do material activities, it develops the desire to do a material activity again. Therefore, that's why I say you're bound, because you've done 10 material activities, you want to do those same 10 again. So that's the difficulty, is changing what it is you desire. So rather than look at, I don't want to do this, reverse it, and what do I want to do? Right? Right, instead of, okay, I always do this stupid thing. I don't want to do that stupid thing. That's one way to look at it, but that's hard because you do want to do that stupid thing, but you understand it's not good to do that stupid thing. But Krishna says the trick is giving up a lower taste for a higher. Right? So therefore, if I try to shut out my desire, it won't work so good. Right? It's good for intelligence that you figured it out, But the other way of doing it is I want to do this positive activity because that will generate more positive. Right? So that means giving, not doing the negative. Right? You know, instead of saying, oh, I don't want to overeat at the feast again. I always overeat. I always kill myself, so I can't overeat this time. I'm determined. That's one way. It's good. It makes it for austerity. It makes for determination, focus, like that. But ultimately, you want to get rid of it. It's that I want to actually desire to eat the proper amount because that's appropriate for my devoting my service. That's much easier because that's a positive thing. Mind always takes positive over rejecting negative that it likes. Right? It's just I want to do this rather than I don't want to do that. Right? But if I do this, it means I'm not doing that. Right? If the kid eats the sandesh, he's not eating the mud. The sister, no, I'm not eating this mud. No, no, I mean, like that. But give him sandesh. Why does he need mud?
Right. Therefore, can be concluded that there are two kinds of free will: positive free will and negative free will.
Yeah, but it's one free will.
Correct.
It's just two sides of the same thing. Just like there's hot and there's temperature, there's hot and there's cold. So it's going to be positive and negative. But the point is it's your choice at any time. We should never take it as someone else is forcing me, God's forcing me, the devil made me do it, you know, any of those kind of things like that. Does that make sense? Like that. We're always free. And this one point means you could go on, we could say this clearly like this, and for the next 10 years, the devotees will still ask the same question. Why? Because we don't want to accept that it's not someone else messing up my life. It's got to be someone else, right? You know, I want it to go like this. It's not going like this. It's got to be someone else. Therefore, then we pull the predestiny card, right? You know, what could I do? It was my destiny, like this and that. No, it's the situation is your destiny, but what you do with it, that's your free will. Otherwise, how are we tatastha? Tatastha means you always have the choice. That's the meaning.
Good. Could be taken also, it's okay, man, it will be another wrong conversation.
Yeah, yeah. No, that, yeah. See, these philosophy, big philosophy things are for the Bhagavatam class. Mm-hmm. This is, the main thing is on the culture, the application.
Sorry.
Yeah, like that. So at that time you can ask mm-hmm. whatever, no problem. Let the messenger then propose the return of the Pandavas to Hastinapura. After the heroes will have been permitted by Drupad to come hither, let Dushasana and Vikarna go out with a handsome train to receive them. Right? So like Rajdhani or, you know, some good quality or Shatabdi. Right? When they will have arrived at Hastinapur, let those foremost of men be received with affection by thee. Let them then be installed in their paternal throne, agreeably to the wishes of the people of this realm. This, O monarch of Bharat race, is what I think should be thy behavior towards the Pandavas, who are to thee even as thy own sons. Right? So he's used all kinds of diplomacy here, but very straightforward. Right? Diplomacy is not bad if it's used for elevation. Right? If it's used for one's own self-centered purposes, then it's bad, but then it's just called self-centered. Whatever you're using, it's bad. You know, it's not just that it's diplomacy. So diplomacy is not a bad thing. Right? So he's pointed out that it'll be agreeable to the kingdom, it'll be agreeable to all the citizens, it's the proper thing, and you also think like this, but at the same time, as your attachment to the sun makes you do otherwise. Like that. Vaishampayana continued. After Drona had ceased, Karna spake again. Both Bhishma and Drona have been pampered with wealth that is thine and favor conferred by thee. They are always regarded by thee as trusted friends. What can therefore be more amusing than that they both should give thee advice which is not for thy good? Right? But Karna doesn't understand this. There's only a kingdom there because Bhishma and Drona are there. Right? He's not that smart. Right? He's smart, but not that's, he's got a good Kshatriya spirit. and he's very charitable. This is like given to him as good qualities, but he's not known as actually really understanding the situation, right? Because of his ego.
Nature of the sun planet also.
Oh, okay. Very, very strong, yeah. How could the wise approve the advice which is pronounced good by a person speaking with wicked intent, but taking care to conceal the wickedness of his heart? Indeed, in a season of distress, friends can neither benefit nor injure. Everyone's happiness or the reverse dependeth on destiny. He that is wise and he that is foolish, he that is young in years and he that is old, he that hath allies and he that hath none, all become, it is seen, everywhere, happy or unhappy at times. It hath been heard by us that there was of old a king by name Amvuvicha, having his capital at Rajagriha. He was the king of all the Magadha chiefs. He never attended to his affairs. All his exertion consisted in inhaling the air. That's a serious work there. All his affairs were in the hands of his minister, and his minister, named Mahakarni, became the supreme authority in the state. Regarding himself all-powerful, he began to disregard the king. The wretch himself appropriated everything belonging to the king, his queens, treasures, and sovereignty. But the possession of all these, instead of satisfying his avarice, only served to inflame him the more. Having appropriated everything belonging to the king, he even coveted the throne. But it hath been heard by us that with all his best endeavors, he succeeded not in acquiring the kingdom of the monarch, his master, even though the latter was inattentive to business and content only with breathing air. What else can be said, O king, than the monarch's sovereignty was dependent on destiny? If, therefore, O king, this kingdom be established in thee by destiny, it will certainly continue in thee, even if the whole world were to become thy enemy. If, however, thy destiny hath ordained otherwise, whosoever may thou strive, it will not last in thee. O learned one, remembering all this, judge of the honesty or otherwise of thy advisers. Ascertain also who amongst them are wicked and who have spoken wisely and well. Right? But according to what he just said, is you could say that if he's supposed to remain the kingdom, even if they go and invite them and give them gifts and be nice with them, they'll still remain the king. Right? Because then according to destiny, it would still remain. Like that. But he just, you know, has a bad attitude towards the Pandavas. Vaishampayana continued, hearing these words of Karna, Drona replied, as thou art wicked, it is evident that thou sayest so in consequence of the wickedness of thy intent. It is for injuring the Pandavas that thou findest fault with us. But know, O Karna, that I have said what I have said is good for all and the prosperity of the Kuru race. If thou regardest all of this as productive of evil, declare thyself what is for our good. If the good advice I have given not be followed, I think the Kurus will be exterminated in no time. Right? So it says, you know, if you say this is bad, so then tell us what is good. You know? And he says, you're wicked, you're interested in just hurting the Pandavas, so therefore you're giving this advice. You're not thinking about the kingdom. Right? You're just thinking about your own purposes here. Section 207. Vaishampayana said, after Drona had ceased, Vidura spoke, saying, O monarch, thy friends without doubt are saying unto thee what is for thy good. But as thou art unwilling to listen to what they say, their words scarcely find a place in thy ears. What that foremost one of Kuru's race, namely Bhishma, the son of Santanu, has said is excellent and is for thy good. But thou dost not listen to it. The preceptor Drona hath also said much that is for thy good, which, however, Karna, the son of Radha, doth not regard to be such. But, O king, reflecting hard, I do not find anyone who is a better friend to thee than either of these two lions amongst men, namely Bhishma and Drona. nor anyone who excels either of them in wisdom. These two, old in years, in wisdom and in learning, always regard thee, O king, and the sons of Pandu with equal eyes. Without doubt, O king of Bharata's race, they are both in virtue and truthfulness not inferior to Rama, the son of Dasarath, and Gaya. Never before did they give thee any ill advice. Also, thou also, O monarch, hast never done them any injury. Why should, therefore, these tigers among men, who are ever truthful, give thee wicked advice, especially when thou hast never injured them? Right? Because he hasn't done any wrong to them, so why should they wrong him? Right? Endued with wisdom, these foremost of men, O king, will never give thee counsels that are crooked. O scion of Kuru's race, this is my confirmed conviction, that these two, acquainted with all rules of morality, will never, tempted by wealth, utter anything betraying a spirit of partisanship. What they have said, O Bharata, I regard highly beneficial to thee. Without doubt, O monarch, the Pandavas are thy sons as much as Duryodhana and others are. Those ministers, therefore, that give thee any counsel fraught with evil unto the Pandavas, do not really look to thy interests. If there is any partiality in thy heart, O king, for thy own children, they who by their counsel seek to bring it out certainly do thee no good. Right? He's saying that he may have some attachment with his heart to his own sons. So that's there, but by counsel, if they bring that out, they're not actually doing him benefit. Right? So if they keep that in balance, then they're actually benefiting him. Right? Therefore, O king, these illustrious persons endued with great splendor have not, I think, said anything that leadeth to evil. Thou, however, dost not understand it. What these bulls amongst men have said regarding the invincibility of the Pandavas is perfectly true. Think not otherwise of it. O tiger among men, blessed be thou. Can the handsome Dhananjaya, the son of Pandu, using his right and left hand with equal activity, be vanquished in battle even by Maghavat himself? Who's Maghavat?
Indra.
Indra, right? Because he takes care of all the Megs. Can the great Bhimasen of strong arms, possessing the might of 10,000 elephants, be vanquished in battle by the immortals himself? Who also that desires to live can overcome in battle the twins Nakula and Sahadev, like unto the sons of Yama himself, and well skilled in fight? How too can the eldest one of the Pandavas, in whom patience, mercy, forgiveness, truth, and prowess always live together, be vanquished? They who have Rama, Baladev, as their ally, Janardhan, Krishna as their counselor, and Saptyaki as their partisan, have already defeated everyone in war. Right? Because there's no one stronger than Baladev as an ally. There's no one as a better counselor than Krishna. Right? And then someone who supports Satyaki, because Satyaki is the commander-in-chief of the Dwarka army. Right? So they're, you know, they got some strength there. They who have Drupad for their father-in-law, and Drupad's sons, the heroic brothers, namely Dhrishtadyumna, and others of Prishata's race, for the brothers-in-law, are certainly invincible. Remembering this, O monarch, and knowing that their claim to the kingdom is even prior to thine, behave virtuously towards them. Right? So he's saying you can't defeat them. He's doing it backwards here because he says it's theirs. No, but we want it. No, you can't defeat them anyway. So therefore, since their claim is prior to yours, therefore you should do it. Understand here? So he's showing him how practically he can't have it anyway if he fights them. So therefore give it to them, because anyway it belongs. You know, because then you can say you have an out for your ego. Right? In other words, you say, you can't defeat them. What do you mean, this and that? Or you feel bad. Anyway, it's theirs. Then you can say, yes, you know, it's their kingdom. They were here before. My brother Pandu. You know, he can do that whole thing. Does that make sense? So it's these things are clever, they're important. The stain of calumny is on thee, O monarch, in consequence of that act of Purochana. Wash thyself of it now by a kind behavior towards the Pandavas. This kindly behavior of thine, O monarch, towards the Pandavas, will be an act of great benefit to us, protecting the lives of us all that belong to Kuru's race, and leading to the growth of the whole Kshatriya order. We have formerly warred with King Drupad. If we can now secure him as an ally, it will strengthen our party. The Dasarhas, O king, are numerous and strong. Know where Krishna is, all of them must be, and where Krishna is, there victory also must be. O king, who, unless cursed by the gods, would seek to effect that by means of war which can be effected by conciliation? So in other words, what you can work out by conciliation, by proper speech and diplomacy, why would you ever use war? Right? He says, unless you're cursed by the gods, only then you would do that. Right? Because if you can work it out by just speaking nicely and being pleasant, why would you fight? Right? Hearing that the sons of Prita are alive, the citizens and other subjects of the realm have become exceedingly glad and eager for beholding them. O monarch, act in a way that is agreeable to them. Duryodhana, Karna, and Shakuni, the son of Suvala, are sinful, foolish, and young. Listen not to them. Possessed of every virtue thou art. I long ago told thee, O monarch, that for Duryodhana's fault, the subjects of this kingdom would be exterminated. So they're saying also is that if now you behave nicely to the Pandavas, everyone will forget about your intrigues against them, right? All the politics against them. You know, with this whole thing with the House of Lack. So then they're saying that this will be your benefit, right? Does that make sense? Any questions on this? Yes? No? Right. So in other words, when you're giving advice, then it's being given in consequence of the person, in other words, out of respect for the person, seeing the good qualities of the person, then pointing out what's the weakness, right? You see that they're always regarding him as the king, that he has the proper knowledge in that, but he's being distracted by what it is. Does that make sense? In other words, he himself is a trained person, qualified person, but he's being distracted by this aspect of attachment, of materialism. You understand? So you're dealing with the deviation. You're not dealing with the person. Does that make sense? Very different. If you identify the person with the deviation, then your actual understanding of the nature of the soul is in the mode of passion or ignorance. You can't claim to be spiritually situated if you connect the activity with the person. You understand? In other words, by the modes of nature, they do those things. Right? If someone always is doing those things, then you take it that this is the way their conditioning is, they will respond this way. You don't have so much you can do about it. But still, you know, that's just the result of their previous activities. And you may avoid them, because they prove themselves that they always act in an improper way. But if someone is acting in a proper way, but then starts to act in an improper way, you deal with the improper way as that is something that can be dealt with. Does that make sense? You don't, now that they've done something wrong, then okay, now they're flawed, throw them out. This is the, you know, this American all or nothing, you know, destructive social dysfunctional principle. Right? It hasn't worked for the Americans, it won't work for anybody else, so don't even bother trying it. Right? As soon as you do that, then what it generates is us and them, so it's very good for the mundane consciousness, because then I can situate myself very strongly in pranamoya and feel good about it, right? Because a pranamoyist will always feel he's superior to an anamoyist. Right? So therefore, based on the morality, they will feel that I am superior, even though they're still both sense gratifiers, right? They're not actually very glorious at all. But because there's a little difference in them, yes. But we see it's only when you get to Manamoy things start getting real. Right? Because then you're considered virtuous. Then you're considered more. That is progressive. The other one, you may have some facility, not some facility here, but you're not progressive. Only once you get to Manamoy are you actually progressive. So no one should fool themselves because they're situated in justice or morality or care for others in the in extended sense gratification, that the position is glorious. It's better than Anamoy, but in comparing it to virtue or spiritual, it doesn't compare at all. It's like the candle to the sun. Right? It just doesn't compare. Right? Does that make sense? So we always have to be very, very careful about this, to see that, always make the right judgment here. So these are talking on virtue, and the others are talking on extended sense gratification. That's why there's such a difference here. Right? So we should also, that's what we're supposed to learn. Don't make the same kind of mistake. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.